This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls with me, Joan Ellis, and my very special guest, Vari McCauley. Welcome, Vari.
Hello. Hi, Joan.
And Vari, you are the co-founder of the Independent Arts Hub at the Ventnor Exchange and all its associated festivals that we know and love, the Ventnor Fringe and the Ventnor International Festival.
Yes, indeed. I'm involved in all of that and, it's something very close to my heart.
How long has the Fringe been running?
The Fringe has been running for 8 years now. This will be the eighth year. We started it when we were 18 and we've just carried on.
18? What gave you the idea at 18 to start a whole Fringe here in Ventnor?
It's kind of a weird thing because I didn't understand what a Fringe was when we set it up. But I was very much involved in creating music events when I was 17. Due to the fact that we loved festival, I liked festival as teenagers. We used to be kind of left with our tent to go for the weekend and, you know, to have a great time. It was very inspiring and we wanted to create our own one. I met Jack, who knew what a Fringe Festival was. He knew that I could do it and we decided as a team to go for it.
That's Jack Whitewood.
Jack Whitewood, yeah, he's my colleague, yeah.
And how much is it based on the Edinburgh Fringe, sort of the original Fringe that I guess most people are familiar with?
The basic concept is totally true to how Edinburgh Fringe started. Edinburgh Fringe itself now is absolutely massive. There are millions of people that go. there are many people that take part. Big business. But when it first started, it was run by students who just set up a shop and decided to create an open festival that was on the fringe of Edinburgh Festival, International Festival. So that's very much opera, very high art, and the fringe was all about being on the edge and being cutting edge, being new and trying things out. That's what the fringe is about.
So you've remained pretty true to that, your kind of opening principles with that, haven't you?
Yes, it's open application, so everyone applies to perform like other fringe festivals. It's different to a music festival because people book the acts. We do not book the acts. People apply. We let everyone perform unless there's any reason they can't. But anyone that applies gets a spot and we help them to find the place that's best for them.
So there's no audition process or anything like that?
No, there's no selection. That's what makes it so free and also quite chaotic. A fringe is always chaotic in nature because of all these different things melding all together. It's you don't know what's going to happen, basically. Every year, I don't know who's going to apply. I don't know what kind of style it's going to have. I don't know what... You might have lots of comedy one year, and you might have lots of puppetry, or you might have... You don't know what's going to happen.
So it's great that you're so open to that. And this year, the Ventnor Fringe runs from the 8th to the 13th of August. Is that right?
Yes, it does. We are building up year on year to get more days into the festival. We started as 3 days. Now we're 6 days. So it's a Tuesday to a Sunday.
And how does that change the nature of Ventnor? Because obviously it's a very beautiful seaside town. It's got all the tourists coming here. We know it and love it. It's got that Victorian feel. It's got its own character, hasn't it? I mean, you know it. You've lived here all your life. What happens? What's so special when the Fringe comes to town?
Well, we call it becoming our playground. Everyone in Ventnor is really open to the Fringe, like the community. They love it, or they seem to love it. And it is kind of hidden away. The Downs going down to the sea makes it this hidden away island within the island. And that's why there's so many unique people here trying to do their own thing. And there's a lot of artists, a lot of creative people in Ventnor. And we're just trying to make it come alive and concentrate all of that creativity into those days. And that's when magic things happen, basically.
And what's the most unusual venue you've got this year? Because I know you give over, bars and all sorts of beautiful, strange courtyards and fields and little hideaway places become these magical spaces for people to perform. So what's your favourite one this year?
Yes, we've had lots of different things in the past due to the fact that there aren't venues already set up in this town, so we have to think differently. This year, I'm particularly proud that some people have got involved and created a bookshop on an old Parisian 1930s bus where events will be happening as well. The bus itself is really beautiful. It's been brought back to its former self by somebody independently who loves to kind of building these buses, and I like when people bring ideas to Fringe and it's their own thing, and that's what I want more people to do things like that. I think other venues this year, we just still keep our quirky. We've got the tent in the park, which is called the Parkside, which is inspired San Francisco park life, and then on the seafront, always the observatory bar. Everyone loves that.
That comes to life because you've got all the twinkly fairy lights up there, haven't you? And the deck chairs and people playing music and performing.
Well, the rest of the year, it just looks really, drab, concrete. People go up there, it's a viewpoint. But when people get to go in a space they don't normally sit in or go to or, dance in, it really excites people because they get allowed somewhere they're not normally allowed.
Yes, and I remember, do you still have the scout field, the tent up there on the hill above the sea? Because that was magical.
We don't actually use that anymore. A lot of things we do, and then we kind of move on, and it's like it's a bit nomadic, really. Like sometimes we'll spend time using some venues, and sometimes it doesn't work out, and then we'll go somewhere else, and then we go back to places because they say, "Oh, why haven't you come and used us this year?" So, we try to involve as many people that want to be involved as possible.
Brilliant. And I'm going back, I'm performing this year with Donna Jones MBE again, and we're so lucky we've got the long room at the Winter Gardens, and that overlooks the sea, and it's just stunning. But the big problem with that is I don't know how any act could compete with the ocean, because it's just so glorious. But nonetheless, I mean, that's a stunning, stunning place, isn't it? And that's somewhere most people don't usually have access to, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really great with the Winter Gardens. They've worked a lot on developing the way that the balcony looks this year for people to sit out there. We have a lot of events happening there this year. It's been good to work with them. And you're right. I mean, when it's really hot and sunny, it's hard to compete with that. When people want to go to the beach and you've got a theatre show, but people always still go to them, even if it's, good weather, because it's the Fringe.
Last year you had the quirkiest little venue I think I've ever seen in my life, which was on the René walkway that comes down the Cascade. And it's just a little covered bench. It almost looks like a bus stop, but it's not, because it's just a walkway. And you had draped in red velvet curtains. So it was gorgeous. And my friend Annie was playing the guitar there. And I know you had lots of other acts. That was part of the Free Fringe, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Free Fringe is actually a really important part of Ventnor Fringe as well. People apply to perform in that. We don't reject anyone. But they're all free events. That stage you're talking about is called the Rini stage, named after the walk there, Rini Howe Walk. And it's quite lovely, actually. The drapes that you're speaking about were created by a lady locally who made them for us, because she imagined that it was a stage. And she just one day said, "I've made you these, just donated them." And, she spent a lot of time on them. It's a lady called Felicity. So really thankful for little, things like that make it.
That's brilliant. And what about coming onto the acts? Who's new and exciting this year?
I have so many acts coming this year. Normally I have around 30 different groups that participate. This year it's gone up to about 50. So that's probably about, I can't even count how many people it is, but this year, in terms of the Fringe, we've got the BBC Folk Awards winner Breege Campbell, who's a pipe player, Vaguely Sunny promoting that. They do one every year at Fringe. We have your show, of course, your show with Donna Jones, and also your show on its own. And then what else do we have? There's so much theatre. I actually have a really exciting shadow puppetry show for the children called The Adventures of Prince Archmed. And it features one of, I think it's either the first or one of the first ever animated kind of pieces of art, animated film, based around the Arabian Nights. So it's from like 1920, I don't know. And it's featured with live music, and I think the kids will just love that, hopefully.
So there is something for every age, isn't there?
Yeah, we really want all ages to come. Our audience is actually made up of many different people. Because we are young, people assume that the festival and what we do is for young people. But it's always been that our main age groups are 50 plus, and also the sort of 20 up to 25. And when you mix different ages together, that's when, you know, it's really nice because everyone's interacting. Yeah, it's good.
And what about your, if you could pick one venue, if you were to perform, where would you go and what would you do? In your sort of fantasy, island, what would you do?
That is a really good question that I've never, ever thought about. I really like the strange venues. So we have, over the last few years, used the old boiler room in the Botanic Gardens, which is a Victorian boiler room, very spooky, dripping cave walls, you know, and we'd put loads of lighting in there. We've had gigs, we've had DJs in there. And I think something like that is just really atmospheric. I don't know what I would perform at all, because I'm not a performer.
Are you musical at all?
I'm trying to learn fiddle, and I say that like all the time because I've been learning for a lot of years now.
And I know your sister comes down to help. Will she be here this year?
Yeah, my sister Katie, she runs the Fringe Review, which is actually a new installment to the Fringe, where a team of journalists and aspiring journalists create a daily newspaper, which is actually a really nice kind of dimension to the whole thing because it interacts with the audience in a new way. They can grab the paper, get reviews. There's very silly advice columns. There's very silly weather reports. You get like the here's a secret show on now. It's just really good content, I think, anyway. But yeah, they're very... They are their own, they're kind of a law unto themselves. They do, you know, they have their own ideas. It's great.
Will Mary Green be coming back? Because I know she's been quite instrumental in that, hasn't she, in the past couple of years?
Yeah, she will be coming back. She actually works for a really good radio station now. She was working at Magic Chilled. And just having people that are really passionate about what they do, but also volunteering their time. Because everybody that works at the Fringe is voluntary. It's just really lovely to see people taking that into their own, yeah.
And it's interesting you say that you actually produce a newspaper, and the typeset is very old-fashioned, isn't it? It almost looks like a sort of Victorian-type newspaper, which is delightful. But it's very interesting that as you're such a young group that you have kind of gone back to print.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of inspired when we were younger. There used to be one at Bestival, and it was very much similar, and they have one at Glastonbury that's very kind of traditional. Because when everyone's on their phones all the time, they can just look up, you know, the reviews. They could Google the names of the people. But there's something about if you turn up at a Fringe venue for the morning and you see the paper, you're like, let's check on the paper what's going on. And I want to hear someone who's written it and told me specifically what they think. And you kind of get to imagine who the people are writing it. And yeah.
It's definitely got its own personality, hasn't it, and feel, that paper. So I urge people who are coming to the Fringe to get their hands on a copy of, well, every day if you're coming, to get hands on a copy of that. It's a great read, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really wacky. It's not drab, it's not boring. It's definitely, they work really hard on it because they have to write it constantly. They'll go out and watch the shows, and then they're up in the office here, and they'll be here till 4 in the morning laying it all out and making sure that it's okay, and then print it.
And here at the Ventnor Exchange, this is the hub, isn't it? This is where the Fringe, you know, this is the heart of the Fringe here, isn't it? It's where everybody comes and goes and comes in for for when they're having a bit of a breakdown or a big moment. It's where they come and share it, and everybody's lovely and so warm. And you have cake here, don't you?
Yeah, it's everything. It's our box office mainly. So there's people queuing to buy the tickets if they don't want to go on the door, because you've got to get them quick before. But it is also the hub for the artists. So if an artist is lost, like you said, they will gravitate towards the space. It just has that feeling, this is where this is the nerve centre. It does get quite crowded at times, but I mean, it's nice to have lots of people here. It's good.
And in past years, you've even had people performing while all that's going on, haven't you, in the space at the front? Will you be doing that again this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite important to give people a flavour of what's going on. Someone might also just wander in who doesn't know about the Fringe, and if they see something, it might be someone promoting their gig that's happening in the evening, or it might be the review show they do. They actually perform interviews, and people can watch them interviewing the artists and say, "Oh, I might go to that show." And also, people come in and just ask, "What shall I go see?" That happens a lot.
So when somebody says to you, "What shall I go see?" How do you answer that?
It is actually quite a hard job, especially when we have lots of volunteers that have not been here the whole year and don't know. I know the programme inside out because I'm the participant manager. I talk to everyone. And you really kind of have to figure out what someone's personality is in like a second. But normally, if someone gives you the idea of what they go see or what they like is it music, is it theatre, or maybe they might say, "I just like contemporary dance," you go, "Oh, I know what you want to see." But it is, you do have to be a bit personable. You have to be a bit of a people person.
Yeah, so if I was to bribe you with lots of cake now, you could put quite a few punters our way then.
Yeah.
Good.
It's fine, I promote everyone equally, but yes, I like to make sure that everyone gets a go, but yeah.
And I know you've got the Ventnor International Festival on the 11th of August. So how does that work?
Yes, actually, that is a new thing for us. Because the Fringe is very open access and it's more of a community festival, it's voluntary, the money goes back to the artists. It's like a cooperative. We wanted to make something that was more kind of like an industry festival. So we've decided to make a one-day music festival on the Friday, the 11th of August, which is in the middle of Fringe. It's run by us, the same people who run Fringe, but it is a separate entity. It's hard to describe this to people because we've always had the Fringe and now we have another festival. But it's basically up-and-coming bands from around the country are playing in three venues. You get a wristband. It's £30 for the day. Which is amazing value for all the people that we've got coming, such as Cosmo Pike, Happiness, we've got Childhood coming, just so many different people, Bad Sounds, and these are all people that are getting, onto the A-list on Radio 1, getting really good reviews, and we're trying to catch them on that wave before they kind of, you know, get really massive.
So it must be a really lovely gig for them to do as well, to come to the island, which is a really special place, like, you know, especially when the sun's shining as it is in the summer, hopefully, fingers crossed. And what do they do? Is it like a kind of whole camping experience for the acts? What do they do?
We would love them to get camping. I can't find somewhere to put people. In future, I'd love to have a big campsite. We do find them accommodation, and it is, like you say, it's very much a kind of holiday for people, because it is such a different place. You kind of feel like you're in a different country when you're in Ventnor sometimes, if it's really warm summer's evening. It is really great to get all these people coming because they're like, "Wow, I've never seen this place." And we kind of call it people getting their island life.
And whenever it's Fringe time here in Ventnor, it takes on such a different hue. Like you're saying, is this becomes this magical space. I mean, it's a magical place anyway for the rest of the year. But particularly for those few days, it really has this wonderful flavour about it, doesn't it? It has this warmth and everybody's spilling out onto the streets. And there's just a lovely vibe, isn't there? Everybody's really happy and smiley. And then it sounds, you know, like I'm really trying to sell it and plug it. But when I've taken part, when I've not taken part, that's what I feel when I come to Ventnor. It's a really super special place, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always obviously quite in the whole thing. I'm in the middle of it. But I think it's very natural, that mood that happens, because I totally see it. And I think it just happens, because sometimes I'm not in that mood because I'm not the punter. But people just give me such, like, good feedback about things they experience. And they tell me about things that I'm like, never knew that happened. You know, it's like an organism. It lives on its own. That's what we want.
Yeah. So what's some of the nicest feedback you've ever had about your work?
That is a really nice question. I think I like when people send you, like, cards after the festival, and you don't know them very well, but they say thank you for changing Ventnor and things like that. I think that's really sweet. And sometimes if you're just out and about, people kind of stop you and say, I know that you did that, and it's really, yeah, it's just very touching when people do that.
And I know you've also had some really lovely reviews, I think it was last year, in The Independent, didn't you?
Yeah, we were really proud, that we were really thankful as well, to the lady that wrote that. And that is just really great that a lot of these mainstream papers are getting more and more interested. Visit Isle of Wight are really helpful with that as well, because they are trying to promote the Isle of Wight as a destination in general. And I think having Ventnor as a unique place, up-and-coming place, beautiful, and then it has this arts festival, it's a really good package that people really want to buy, you know, get into, and we hope that we get more.
Well, I know they said some really lovely things about the Fringe, didn't they, and the Independent. So that's, I mean, you can't buy publicity like that, can you? And that's just a genuine feeling from when they came. So do you know when they're here, do you know when they're going to turn up?
Sometimes people get in touch and we'll totally jump on the opportunity, and we'll say, you know, we'll give you a tour, we'll make sure you have a great time, and sometimes things just come out and you just have no idea, like the Sunday Times quote that we have, something about it being the most, you know, best up and coming arts festival in the UK, and I just have no idea who wrote that or when they were here or and I'm like, I want to know. But yeah, you do have to work hard at it as well. We've taken a lot of years to kind of do that, to pick at it.
So it's been going 8 years now, is that right?
Yes, it has, yeah.
And how much has it grown in that time, Vary?
It's, well, for the first year, I think, was the year that we had Johnny Flynn playing. That was our biggest artist. And Vincent Moon came to run a pop-up cinema. And it was really Jack's hero at the time. It was an amazing coup that he just persuaded his hero to come and run a shop in, you know, showing amazing films in a, you know, old shop. But then I think probably about 200 people came, and, you know, it probably cost about £1,000 to put on. In the eighth year, we expect, based on last year, maybe 3,000 plus people will be involved, you know, interact with the Fringe. We can't know for sure everyone that goes to the free events, so that's based on only ticketed stuff. And it costs a lot more than that nowadays.
Did you get funded?
We don't actually get any funding for the Fringe. We get sponsorship in the form of help from the ferry companies. They provide artist discounts for the ferry, which is really lovely that they do that and really supportive. And it's always been self-sufficient since day one. I don't know how. But we also have the Fringe Friend Scheme. So people pay £20 a year to have certain perks, and you get 2-for-1 tickets at the festival. And that really helps to prop us up. But as I say, the money made just goes back to the artists, so it's in their interest to push it and make it successful.
And do you see the same faces coming and watching the acts? You know, is it, have you got your regulars at Ventnor and your regular Islanders? Or do you see, you know, is it a whole new crowd coming? Obviously, you've got more people coming, like you say, so they must be coming from the four corners, hopefully.
Yeah, I love when new people come. We actually watch our ticket sales quite closely. We get really excited when people book from, like, Berlin or, you know, sort of people booking in France, people booking, like, you know, in Scotland or, like, yeah, stuff like that is exciting. But we do have a really core, the Fringe family of people, fans, who come, and they also come to the exchange year round, and we literally couldn't do it without those people because they've always helped us, and a lot of them are fringe friends as well. They do it, they pay that money to support and keep it going.
Oh, that's brilliant. Okay, well, it's lovely talking to you, Vara McCauley, and we'll be back after this break when I'll be speaking to Vara a little bit more about the Ventnor Fringe this year and more about the island.
Stay social and get in touch. It's at Vectors Radio on Twitter. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
Hello and welcome back to Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls with me, Joan Ellis, and my very special guest, Vara McCauley, who is co-founder of the Ventnor Exchange, obviously here in Ventnor on a gorgeous island. So welcome back, Vara.
Hello. Hi. Good to be back.
We were talking just before the break about the event Fringe, which is coming up in August, and that's on the 8th to the 13th, and we can't wait for that, and the International Festival, which is going to be on the 11th of August, and you're in your 8th glorious year. This is a question I ask all my guests, because the show is Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls. What has been your pratfall moment? What's been the kind of worst or funniest or moment when you wanted the ground to open up and swallow you moment while you've been doing the Fringe?
Lots of times. You've got to carry on being a people person all the time, and sometimes you do put your foot in your mouth, as you say, and you say something to someone. Especially, there's a lot of things with, we use radios to contact each other when they're in range, and sometimes you have to figure out who's listening, because you've got to remember who's got a radio and who hasn't. And I think before I've said something when someone else could hear on the radio, because it's not like a phone, other people can hear. I remember that being extremely embarrassing, which everyone ribbed me about for years. I'm still ribbed about that. Yeah, I can't say who it was about though, because I would, yeah.
But you did, you broadcast it to everyone by the sound of it.
it's all fine now.
You were also telling me earlier that you had a moment when you had to move out of your house during the Fringe.
Yeah, this isn't necessarily like an embarrassing moment, but just things that kind of, you look back on, you think, God, that was ridiculous. One year organising the Fringe, we were leaving our house that we were all living in. A lot of the team, we were living together as well, because we're all friends. We were living in this lovely big house, but the landlord wanted it back to put his family in the house. And he said, I want you moved out by this time. And it was during the middle of the Fringe. And we said, I don't think you understand. We're running a festival at that time. We're literally, you know, running around like headless chickens. We can't move out. And it ended up being that day, and I think Jack had to go, and who is the director of the festival, had to go and do the inventory halfway through the festival with his radio buzzing next to him, and the kind of lady going, there's dust on this shelf here, you know. And we were all our stuff was in the, we just moved into the exchange as well, and all of our stuff from our house was here. We were homeless. We didn't, you know, we had to go and find places to live. And I remember one of the artists turning up, and I was just moving my stuff into our new business. And she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm moving house. Hello, good to meet you. Welcome to the Fringe. And, people kind of go, what? But you look back on it, and stuff like that kind of just makes you stronger. You kind of, you know, you think it's funny.
Well, I guess that's something you've got to have, isn't it? A sense of humour.
Oh, yeah, you've got to have a sense of humour all the time. When things get dark or things get really hard, running a new business is really hard, and things get in the way, a lot of hurdles, financial, you know, things like that. And you just have to remember it's not the worst thing in the world.
So what do you do? You do this with Jack Whitewood. What are your strengths and what are his strengths? How do you both seem to complement each other really well.
Yeah, everyone says that we do. So we work together and we're really good friends. We are kind of opposites in some ways, but we have the same goal with the Fringe. We have a mission, like a kind of social change mission. But it is funny sometimes when we clash, we really clash, and then people find it very funny watching us from the outside.
Oh, I've never seen that. So how does that manifest itself?
Just like brother and sister having a fight, basically. And I can't even think of anything as an example, but yeah, I'll just end up bullying him about something, and then he'll say that I'm really stressy and moody and quite fiery, like, you know, and yeah, we just take the mick out of each other all the time.
That's probably the best way to be. But you both come across, I think, publicly, to me anyway, I've always ever known the pair of you as being really cool and calm and collected, which as an artist is lovely to have that steadying hand on the tiller, if you like.
Yeah, I always, it's nice that you said that, because I feel that I don't always show that. But I think it is important when you're dealing with lots of people is to try and keep as calm as possible, because it's catching. People can catch it off you. So even if the worst thing's happening, just need to kind of keep it behind a bit.
And obviously with artists being drama queens by nature, nobody, you know, that just comes with the territory. Like I say, it is great to be able to come here or speak to you on the phone and know that you're going to sort it all out, really.
Yeah, that is a really good point, that, yeah, dealing with artists in general, it can be, like you say, there's a lot of drama, no offence, but yeah, there's, like, that's what people say if you run events. Generally, people will say that about artists, any kind of artist, is they're very protective over their art and their thing, and they believe their thing to be the most important thing. Of course they do, but I have 50 people that believe that their thing is the most important thing, so I have to kind of be, like, the mum. Yeah.
And would you, does that make Jack the dad?
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, the dynamic is very much that we're kind of best friends, but also brother and sister, colleagues. Yeah.
It's good that that works so well. Can you see that expanding into any other areas with you and Jack as a sort of business partnership?
We literally do loads of different stuff as part of the Ventnor Exchange. We are always working on some other scheme or project to kind of develop the cultural landscape on the island. Growing up here, we wanted to put something back into it. And when we finished university, the option was to carry on or to go and, you know, basically go and live in London. And we weren't done yet. So we didn't.
You're both island children, if you like, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We both grew up here. We went to school together from when we were very young, although we didn't know each other when we were very young. So it's quite strange.
And do you see a day where you might expand onto the mainland? I mean, like now, best of all, obviously, we've lost that, haven't we, to the mainland. Do you see that ever happening here? I mean, that would, I think, break a lot of people's hearts if it were to, but are you happy to keep it here in Ventnor?
I really couldn't say what would happen in the future with what we're doing. It develops week by week, day by day. You know, I wouldn't like to do that. I think it's very much about the place. And as I said, we have a commitment to the community here. I know that sounds quite cheesy or a bit over the top, but that is why we do it.
And the Ventnor Exchange is an all year round venue, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Indeed, it's a theatre. But we also have music concerts. We host workshops for young people. We just do just about anything creative if we can fit it in the building.
So it used to be the old post office, didn't it?
Yeah, it's a lovely old grand building, which we rent, which is great. So it's a great arrangement that we have here. And it's just loads of space. When we moved in, we thought it would just be our office. And as we kind of realised it was such a big space, we thought, let's just do loads of other stuff. So we're a record shop, we're a craft beer bar. You know, people can do what they want, really.
When you say record, you've got the old vinyl, haven't you?
Yeah, we're really into our vinyl. It is a bit of a thing that's coming out at the moment. But, I mean, there aren't many record shops on the island, and we sell a lot of new music, and we are just really passionate about music as well, so we didn't want to leave that out.
Yeah, you have art exhibitions as well, don't you? Photography exhibitions here.
Yeah, we really want to get as much as that's possible. We'd like to get more of that. It's really hard to organise everything at the same time, but we do have an exhibition starting in September. Paradox Pool is going to have some work in here. The Undecided Art Collective on the island, they've had quite a lot of shows here. which have all been amazing. I'm a fine artist myself, so I try to get as much as possible, but we don't have the most amount of space.
And a lot of it is free, though, isn't it? People can just sort of wander in and enjoy what you've got going at that particular moment.
Yeah, a lot of people do. They kind of come in and say, what's going on? Or sometimes they come in and they say, what is this place? And then we just tell them.
But it's a lovely... So for people who have never visited, it's a really light, airy, eclectic space, isn't it? With lots of old squishy sofas and, like you say, you've got a bar, music, spoken word, theatre. It's an all-round hub, isn't it? And I think when people come here, it's such a friendly vibe to it. It's a very welcoming, and that's as an audience member and as an artist. I think you feel very safe here.
I do have a lot of people saying that. It's more the building that lend itself to that. And we just went with that. We wanted it to be open plan. We wanted it to be that you could do, you know, like you said, just chill out. A lot of the things that we have were gifted to us, given, donated. People love to, you know, give stuff, like the sofas. And at the time, we took everything that we could get because we just started. And actually, things like that give it the character that it has. It's very much a mesh of all different things.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And you've got a lovely view up onto the downs, which is kind of, I always look at that and think it's very Italian out there as well. So that's lovely, calming, you know, with a nice glass of wine to look at that. It's beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it is a really nice place. It's good to be in the town. There's more things opening in Ventnor, you know, all the time. We want more stuff to open.
And is it the same this year that the carnival will take place at the same time as the Fringe?
Yeah, effectively, actually, the Fringe started as a fringe of the carnival, because the carnival's been happening for many years. I've forgotten how many, 120-something, 26. It's the second oldest one on the island, after Ride. So thousands of people come to watch that anyway, and it is a really good time to grab people's attention. And we work really well with the Ventnor Carnival Committee. We talk to them, and we're part, you know, we go to the meetings, and it's just really lovely to have that community. That's a real local community festivity happening, and it's really good that we work together.
It's lovely to see the kids coming out on the floats, and they, you know, they just go to town on those, don't they? And I've seen some of the acts when you've had that, the big sort of play productions in full costume joining the procession.
I always encourage the artists to take part in the carnival, to dress up as their characters for their shows, and to show everyone we're here. And also to promote their shows, because you've got thousands of people on the street looking, and it's like, you know, come to my thing.
I'll have to go as Marilyn Monroe then this year, won't I?
I would definitely suggest you do that, because people will just love that. They'll just be like, it's Marilyn. And yeah.
Very old Marilyn.
This year we also have the Parisian bus I was talking about is going to go in the carnival as well, so we're going to have like more of a proper procession as part of it. Make more of a thing out of it.
Lovely. Do you know what day that's on this year?
So the carnival's on the Wednesday, which will be the 9th of August, and then they do an illuminated version where they stick loads of lights and glow sticks on the carnival, and they do that on the Saturday the 12th, which is 9 p.m.
Fantastic. And you were also mentioning to me in the break that you're looking for lots of volunteers. So if anybody wants to volunteer at the festival, please get in touch with Vari. And if they do that, obviously there's no wonga involved, but what are the perks?
Yeah, it's quite good, actually. If you volunteer for Fringe, it's mostly stewarding, which is taking the tickets on the doors, but you get to watch the shows, so you can kind of ask to be on certain shows, or you can just go and see what's going on. There's always something to see. It's really fun to be part of it as well. You meet a lot of people, and it's not all stress and craziness. Like, we do have fun.
Yeah, and I remember, now this isn't a volunteer, but I might belong to one of the volunteers, but every year I have seen a really sweet little dog. I think it's a Jack Russell, and it generally goes out in costume. I think one year it was a pirate, maybe last year it was a ballerina, and it just gladdens my heart.
That's Sid. Sid is our Ventnor Fringe dog. Sid is Joe, who's part of the team for Ventnor Fringe, who he makes our website and runs the box office. It's his mum and dad's dog, and he's everywhere at Fringe. Yeah, he meets all the artists. He's a real, you know, real groupie to all the artists. They just love him. And when he's here in the exchange, everyone just gravitates towards it.
And does he not, does Sid live in Ventnor normally?
He doesn't actually, he lives in Carisbrook.
Oh, so, but he migrates over for the Fringe.
Yeah, he's basically a Fringe, he's a Ventnor resident. Yeah.
Do you think he'll get his own show one day?
I hope so.
He's a kind of walking Fringe though, isn't he? Let's face it.
Yeah, definitely. He's a good advert.
So, here's your mascot. And we're getting ever closer now. I guess this is your kind of maddest time of the year, isn't it? As you approach it, it's probably as crazy as the actual Fringe. What's the moment that you look forward to the most? Is it the beginning, middle, or the actual final day when it's a wrap?
I really don't know what bit I look forward to. Once it starts, in the few days before, it can be quite overwhelming because once it starts, you just let it happen. In the bit before, you can change anything to make it what it could be. So if that makes sense, once it happens, it happens. You can't do anything about it. When we get to the end, we're all really sad. So we don't like to think, I want it to end, because that's the highlight of the year for us.
And is it something you work on 12 months of the year?
Yeah, bit by bit, we spread it out that way. So we normally open the applications in December or January, and then they close in May. And so then the Fringe is in August, you have about a month off, and then you start to think about the next campaign.
I love being part of it, and I think I've been in it 2 or 3 years now and adore it. But the thing I loathe is having to put all my the website bit, you know, the kind of techie bit, which I am so grateful to you because you always help me out. I'm always really pathetic about it, I know, but I do try really hard, but it always defeats me. But it's, I mean, if anybody's got kind of half a brain, which clearly I haven't, it's not difficult, is it?
Well, it's hard. It's just while technology is advancing, I run everything off a database, like you say, that's online, and I look after 50 different groups, and to have it all in front of me when I'm working on things is much better than paper. But I do realise that it can be a real barrier. I have a lot of people who do paper applications, but I can't let everyone do that, or it just becomes like this, you know, mountain of paperwork. But there are issues with technology sometimes, yeah.
Yes, it's fine when it does what you want it to do, but when it plays up, it's an absolute nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes you just think, I wish I'd written that down.
Yeah, well, like, it comes back full circle to the paper, doesn't it, that you produce, your review paper, which is a delight, really, and to get a review in there is lovely. Now, you're a Ventnor girl. You've been here since you were 10. And ever lived anywhere else on the island?
Never lived anywhere else on the island. We've always lived in Ventnor. My mum was really obsessed with Ventnor when she was a teenager. She was from Newport. And it was kind of her getaway, hideaway place. So when we moved here, she knew that it had to be here.
And you moved here from London, didn't you? You were in a quite hip and happening part of London. And what brought you back to the island?
Me and my brother and sister, we grew up mostly in Islington, in Angel. We lived in Stoke Newington for a bit, so kind of quite, you know, central London, you know, growing up. I think as we got older, my parents wanted us to be a bit more free and to have more of an experience of being, you know, in the countryside. You know, we weren't allowed to go out on our own, obviously as being quite young children, but even if you want to go play in the street, because there's not a lot of room to go play, you're only allowed to go to the end of the road, you're only allowed to go this bit, you're not allowed to do this, you're not, you know, whereas on the island, it's much safer. I'm not saying it's fully safe, but compared to central London, there are a lot of, you can go play on the green with your friends and mum would say, be back at 6 or, you know, and you just go.
So you were happy with that move. Is there anything about you that thinks, oh, just, you know, there's a part of you that wishes you had stayed in London, which is obviously really different to the island?
I actually don't. I do wonder what I would be like, but I actually think it creates part of my identity where I have the two opposites. Coming here from there, going to middle school here was very much a culture shock to me, but it's made who I am now, so I don't have stayed. Because I went back there for university, so I got my London fix.
So where did you go to university?
I went to Camberwell College of Art.
So your degree is in fine art?
Yeah, I have a degree, it's fine art drawing, as it's split fine art into the different sections in Camberwell. So you do sculpture, photography, drawing or painting.
And do you still practice that now?
I don't ever have any time to make any art. I'm happy to facilitate other people's art, and it sounds quite strange, but a lot of the art that I was making was socially engaged practice, which is where you make interactive art with people, and that's effectively what I do with the Fringe and the Exchange. So I kind of practice it through facilitating projects.
That's quite unusual for a creative person, isn't it? And it sounds like you'd make a really good teacher.
I really like teaching. I teach young people workshops. We're part of the youth offer on the island, which is funded by the county council and the town council, where we provide creative workshops for 11 to up to 19 year olds. I love teaching those. They're really good, because I just want to share some of the skills. And some children don't learn, they learn things in school and some people don't, so it's, you know, it's nice to give people some ideas of what they could do.
And are they free workshops?
And they're not, but they are only £2 a go. That's due to the funding. It subsidises, so everyone can take part, really.
And if there's somebody listening that's got a child or a friend that then you think would love that and get a lot out of it, What do they do? Just contact you here or on the website?
Yeah, definitely. There's a section on our website, which is ventnerexchange.co.uk. And if you go to Young Creatives on the website, you can sign up for free. And I just send emails of opportunities and say, do you want to do this? Do you want to book that? And I'm open for all children to come. I have quite a lot of have people that are in school, also people that are home educated, and all different ages. It's very informal. We just put the tables together in the main room and, you know, we just kind of get on with art.
Brilliant. There is a lot for young people, isn't there? I mean, I think if you just hunt it out a bit, I mean, Vectors Radio here, we do a project called the 4 P's, which is all about teaching children the principles of producing radio and promotion and podcasting. And that's a free service, and they love it. But it's not just for somebody that wants to make radio or media their career choice. It can be for young people who want to build their confidence. So I always think it's great if you're about to sort of do the round of interviews, perhaps for university, and you think, I might need a little bit of boost, or my communication skills need a little polish. It would be a really great course for them to go on. So what is the most sort of special thing that you're looking forward to in the next month? In terms of the Fringe, I mean, where it's grown so much, what's the thing that's now sort of coming through for you as you've seen it grow? I mean, it's a bit like being a parent, isn't it? And you've helped nurture this thing, and you had no idea which direction it was going to go, if it was going to fail or succeed, and it has flourished. Yeah. So what's the thing about it that is the most exciting for you this year?
As I was kind of saying earlier, that I really like when people instigate their own projects within it, and there's a lot of that happening this year, and I'm really intrigued to see what these different factions are doing and interpreting the Fringe in their own way. I really can't say what that's going to be like, but I really am open to it being, you know, people need to have some ownership over it, as it is kind of a community festival. We might not be the people running it forever, but we'd like it to carry on, and we need to keep that going. People need to keep it fresh. And I also really, I know this sounds a bit, the people that come and help every year, that's the only time I get to see them. And a lot of, I call them my Fringe family, and I just get really excited about seeing them and being around the people that I really, you know, basically I really love. It's like the tribe gathering. That's what I look forward to.
I think there's a unique energy about the place, isn't there? And it is lovely, like you say, when you get people like Vari and Lara Claire Reed. She's part of that team, isn't she? One of the musicians from the Ventnor Darlings. She writes for the paper as well. And your sister, she's part of that. Mm. And as an artist coming here, you feel that kind of family vibe, and then you come in and you get a little fix of it, which is really lovely.
That's what I want. I want it to be like you catch it, you know, like it's kind of, you know, you kind of get a bit of it. And there's people that help that are all ages as well. And I just down to somebody like our friend Jim, who's always helped and has known us since we were little. He, you know, just comes in and goes, "What do you want me to do?" You know,
he writes plays, doesn't he? Yeah, and he's a builder.
Yeah, exactly. He's a builder. He writes plays in his spare time. Amazing plays. Also with John Goodwin as well. And people, you know, people just have their thing, and you're just really excited that they see your vision as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it reminds me, it's got that feeling a bit of Christmas. I know it's the middle of the summer, but it's like a Christmas or a birthday party that you know the magic is there, but you also know there is an end to it.
Yeah.
So you're trying to drink it all and make it all as special as possible for that time, and enjoy it as much as you can, because it's in a wave of a wand, it's gone, isn't it?
That's actually what my friend David Champion, one of the singers, or was it Mike? I can't remember, his brother from Champs. I think that was one of the quotes we used last year. It's like Christmas of the summer. Mm-hmm. it's the Christmas of Ventnor. It was nice to see that someone else saw it that way.
Oh, yes. No, it's a very, very special time and a very special place. So please, if you've been before, come again. If you've never been, put it in your diary. So it's the 8th of the August to the 13th of August. And fair weather or rain, you know, there's inside venues, outside venues. So there's something for you, something for the whole family here. And just come, walk around and enjoy the vibe, and come in and say hi to Vari and the team. They'd love to see you. So thank you very much, Vari, for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me, Joan.
And thank you for listening, and have a lovely weekend, and I look forward to talking to you again next week.
www.vectisradio.com